The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time.
Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Today we will reflect on our Gospel from St. John. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
The parishioners of St. Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church invite you to join them Sunday, April 28th, Divine Mercy Sunday, to celebrate the day and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
And on the whole world.
Followed by refreshments in Monsignor Casper Hall, 3210 South Padre Island Drive. If you have a religious article that you'd like to have blessed, bring it. The Divine Mercy Sunday celebration begins at 2 p.m. For additional information, call the church office, 361-853-7371.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you and happy Easter to all of South Texas and beyond who are listening this morning. We hope that you are experiencing the many fruits of this beautiful day of the resurrection of the Lord. And in a special way, I'd like to greet my friends at the St. Dismas community in Beeville and others who are not able to maybe get out in church today, but just to know that we're there with you and we share the same faith in the risen Lord. So God bless you.
Well, absolutely. And of course, it was a very special evening last night at the vigils around the parishes and, you know, beautiful. Yeah. Long masses, but a beautiful, beautiful
if you don't
ceremony.
If you don't look at your watch, it's the beautiful, beautiful ceremony and beautiful liturgy that we have. It's called the mother of all liturgies, and so it really is the model for all of us constantly. So anyway, it was wonderful, wonderful experience.
Wonderful.
And congratulations if any of the newly baptized are listening. Congratulations and welcome to the body of Christ to you as well.
Yeah, wonderful welcome. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there are two stories that claimed that Jesus rose from the dead. There was the empty tomb story and the post-resurrection stories. And we have a couple of Gospels today. So today's, of course, the one that you read was one of John's empty tomb stories. And then this afternoon's Gospel is from Luke, and it's about a post-resurrection experience.
Right. And, of course, throughout the season of Easter now, which will go through Pentecost, up to Pentecost, then we'll be hearing many of these beautiful stories of Jesus returning to be with his disciples and his apostles and encouraging them and strengthening that faith that he is risen from the dead, that he has conquered death. You know, as I read this this morning, again, you kind of wonder why Mary even went to the tomb. And it reminds me of us visiting the tombs of our own loved ones who have died. I know whenever I'm in Houston, in South Houston, I try to get by the cemetery where my father's died, my grandmother, and others, and just to visit. There's something about a burial place. And unfortunately, I don't want to get into this topic, but I think some people today don't have that sense of the sacredness of a burial place. But it is extremely, I mean, for the Native Americans, the burial place is a sacred spot. And so I think in some ways, I think of that when Mary of Magdala went to the tomb early that morning. It was a sacred space for her. It's where they had laid her Lord, where they laid her friend. And she wanted, perhaps in her mind, to visit.
Right.
And just to be there, to be present, even though he had died and was buried, but to be present to him. And of course, she unexpectedly found something else much stronger, that his life had conquered, had overcome death and even burial, that mm-hmm. the body was not there, that he had risen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, it's a beautifully written gospel, and we can imagine her surprise when she gets there and, you know, the rock had been moved away. So, you know, she was just one of the three main characters in this particular gospel. There was mm-hmm. Also Simon Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Right.
And when I was doing some research on this, they said the disciple whom Jesus loved was unique to John's gospel, but they think it was John.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's you know, obviously, it's that strong love of friendship, mm-hmm. you know, which we can't even probably imagine how strong that relationship was between Jesus and John, and yet John refers to himself so often of the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, and we have to recognize that Jesus loves all of us, and yet there was a special bond there of some kind, a friendship and obviously faith. So mm-hmm. It's a beautiful way to refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Yes, it is. So. And in the gospel, of course, the disciple whom Jesus loved arrived at the tomb first, but deferred going in to wait for Simon Peter. So
right.
Probably a respectful gesture.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can look at it also as Peter probably was a bit older, and yet they were, and was called and referred to oftentimes by Jesus as in a more of a, I guess you might put it, leadership role. Even when he spoke to him that you'll be tested and tried, Peter, but you will, once you overcome these temptations, you will be the one to strengthen your brothers. This is before. So you can see that Jesus had a certain plan, you might say, I guess a strategy, or in our language today, a structural plan of how he would want the community of disciples and apostles to be formed. And so whether John knew this or not, of course, this is all written after the resurrection and after the church began to form, because the community was first in the history of the church. The first writings that were included in the New Testament really didn't begin until about 50, 52, 53, something like that. So these are written later, and obviously reflections on what had evolved. So as John is writing this, he's probably remembering that Peter is the one that Jesus had put as the leader of the community. And so as he recounts this very moving story of approaching, running toward the tomb, he knows that the disciple whom Jesus loved himself arrived first, but he waited. and he looked in, based on Mary's story, that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. But he waited for Peter to go in first. And the church has always seen this as kind of a gesture of humility, first of all, but that Peter would be the first to witness to the resurrection, that Peter would be the one who would be the teacher of that that reality of resurrection, of death, of life over death.
Well, and of course, they had been told, Mary Magdalene had thought that that someone had taken the body, but at the tomb, right, when they saw the burial cloths rolled up, I mean, that dispelled that.
Yeah, faith,
explanation.
Sure, and I think it's another point there that we could see is faith is a journey. You know, there's a skepticism, I think, in all of us, and so you come, okay, just because the stone is rolled back, you know, doesn't mean definitively, and the cloths are there, but there was no body. So it's kind of like a gradual thing, and their faith and love in Jesus was so strong, remembering then his words that destroy this body, and in 3 days it will rise. So this whole thought of him rising from the dead, of conquering death, was there, and so now it all kind of fits together. And I think that's a certain encouragement to all of us. You know, sometimes many of us struggle with faith and deepening that faith. And maybe it's because we do look at just the externals and say, well, you know, okay, there's that and that and that, but that doesn't prove anything. And, you know, it's more than just an empirical proof of the reality that's there, but it's something that's rooted deep in our heart and our faith and our life in the words of Jesus. So is Mary and Simon, Peter and John are approaching, they're probably also resonating with all the words that he had said previous, right, you know, to this. So,
and reliving them.
Reliving them, and then not seeing his body, saying this is not a theft, mm-hmm, of a body. This is the power of God raising his son from the dead for us, for our sake.
Well, when I was looking at the catechism in regards to this gospel reading, there's a section in the catechism that said, the disciple whom Jesus loved realized that the absence of Jesus' body could not have been of human doing, and that Jesus had not simply returned to earthly life as had been the case with Lazarus. You know, everything in Jesus' life was a sign of his mystery.
Sure, yeah. And later we'll see that also is Mary approaches Jesus in the garden and she doesn't even recognize him. So if it's just returning to the bodily existence only, just to a purely human existence, we would recognize that. But as we'll see in one of the Sundays coming up, that Mary only recognized him really when he used her name, when he said Mary. It's that at that point that she could recognize him. So all of these things, you know, throughout this Easter season are help us understand that this person that God has sent us, that we so joyfully celebrated at Christmas, is now gone through the tragedy of his passion, mm-hmm, the beauty of all the things that he did for the people of his time, and now the tragedy of the passion and death, but the resurrection. And that is what we, as men and women of faith in Jesus Christ, hold on to, the fact that he rose from the dead and in those 40 days afterwards walked among his disciples to encourage and strengthen that faith, that he is risen, that he's overcome sin, he's overcome bodily death as well. So,
and so we have a beautiful 40 days of Easter also to look forward to.
A reflection,
to.
Right?
Yes. All right, we are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation this Easter morning. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Crisio is a movement focusing on helping Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in a Crisio weekend are numerous talks, some by a priest and some by lay people. The goal is for attendees to take what they have learned into the world. Why not bring a friend and make a friend? An important point that's stressed is personal spiritual development. The Corpus Christi Crucio Center, 1300 Lantana, will offer a women's Crucio in English the weekend of May 2nd through 5th. For more information, call the Pre-Crucio Chairperson, 361-853-2754.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, we were talking about how, you know, Jesus is not simply returned to earthly life like when Lazarus came out of the tomb. And the Magnificat for Holy Week had a quote from Pope Benedict the 16th that said, "Faith in the resurrection of Jesus says that there is a future for every human being. God exists. That is the real message of Easter. Anyone who even begins to grasp what this means also knows what it means to be redeemed."
Right. You know, I mean, the resurrection, when you think about it, it opens up so many possibilities, because if there's no hope, and that's basically what our faith and our hope come together here, that we base our life in the faith of this event, really, this event in the life of the Lord and in the life of the church and the life of each one of us, which is what gives us hope. If Jesus has conquered sin and death, both, then there's hope. And so to not despair, any of us should never despair in any situation, whatever our situation is today, as difficult as it is to swallow sometimes, as tragic as it may be in a family or personally, still there's hope. And the resurrection is the day of hope. And so what the Pope is saying, that this really is the foundation that to say to us that we are all redeemed, and there's the doors and the possibilities are there for all of us, if not in this life, then in the next, but also in this life as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, St. Paul spoke of this constantly in his preaching as an evangelist. He speaks in Rome about dying with Christ and rising with Christ, and that this is the source of our faith, the source of our hope. And in the letter to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter, St. Paul goes into that message about the resurrection of the dead. If you don't believe that, or if our faith is not based in that, then our preaching is empty and our faith is in vain. Or as some translations say, that we have nothing to preach and you have nothing to believe.
That's pretty point blank.
It's resurrection, right. It's all there wrapped up in the resurrection. And so this is the gate to life. This is the gate to that there are possibilities. And I think many times in all of our lives, when it looks like it's a dead-end road, when we don't see any other possibilities, maybe because we're not looking to Christ in the resurrection, or we don't have that decided faith in the resurrection, and that hasn't really taken root in our life, and it has to, really. I mean, this is the preaching of this Sunday and throughout this Easter time, is that the resurrection has to be planted deep in our experience as a human person. That believing in that, then there's always hope. There's always tomorrow. There's always the next moment. And that's why St. Paul, in speaking to the Romans, speaks of not just a resurrection in the future, a final resurrection, which is certainly what we believe in. And we, as men and women of faith, we look to that final resurrection of eternal life in heaven with Jesus. But we also have to realize that we die and rise every day. And we have to see that pattern kind of taking root in our lives each day, that if I die with him, in other words, I'm experiencing something difficult, but I'm willing to embrace that in whatever way we can understand that, with faith that if I go to the grave with him, in other words, in this tragic situation, then I will rise with him, because my faith will lead me to the next level of life, which is resurrection. And we don't know how that happens. I mean, when we speak of resurrection, it's the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. It's the gift that's given to us. And so the willingness to kind of enter into the experience that's difficult with the hope and the faith that he will turn that around. You know, it's an expecting faith, but it's not expecting that I'm going to get what I want. And
right.
That's the tragic
right.
part to all of us. we kind of go into an experience that I will believe in you or I'll be happy or whatever if you follow my directions.
Conditions.
All the conditions that we put in there. But that's not, I mean, Jesus never spoke of those conditions except that he would rise. And but as a human being, what does that mean for himself? But he was willing in faith, even at the end, to say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And it's in that dying that he rose, that the Father raised him from the dead. So in other words, what I'm saying is, as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, we celebrate the rising of Jesus, Jesus being raised from the dead. And we think of that only in terms of at the end of our own life, at our own human death, that there will be resurrection. And the spiritual life and the life in Christ that St. Paul promoted so much in all of his writings, in all of his epistles and sermons, is that if Christ is in you, you're already alive. And so, but if you die with him, which means you have to put to death some of your own wants and tastes and ways of looking at things, to go with him is a death to what's just purely human, then we rise with him. And the more that pattern plays out in our life, in our everyday situations, in all the difficult moments, then we are more prepared. We are truly prepared in that final death, which is the physical death, the human death, to rise with him and to leave this world with a smile on our face and ready to go without the fears that we so many times encapsulize that moment that we will all face. We put it encapsulated into fear and pain and all of these things. No, it's an encounter. And if we're encountering him every day in our own joys and sorrows, rising with him constantly, we know that he's there with us.
Be good. And we've talked about this on the program before, that people pray for something and they may not get the response they want, but they get an answer to their prayer.
Right. Well, I mean, I think this is what the new evangelization, the first point of it is for all of us, is an encounter with Christ.
Right.
You know, you quoted Pope Emeritus Benedict, and he also said at the beginning of the that year of faith that we had last year, is that faith is an encounter with the living Jesus Christ, the living Christ. And how many of us really encounter him? In other words, that we can say, I do know him. And I think that's a real challenge for all of us today in a very special way, that we can witness to that faith. How do you witness to what you believe? That is, how do you witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, if not through your own experience? That I died with him, let's say, in this tragedy of my family, but somehow I found a peace inside. I found a new assurance of faith, and I can tell people that. Because, you know, so oftentimes, and we've seen so many heroes, you know, in our families,
right,
that others say, how can you go through this tragic moment? Maybe it's the death of a child, and that, of course, for any family would be very, very difficult.
Heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and yet some families struggle with that. But somehow there's a calmness and a peace that through that tragedy they're also able to say, I know he's alive, or I know she's with the Lord. And it's saying that ultimately what they're saying is, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in Jesus Christ. And they witness to that by their life, by a smile, or by words. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can be true disciples of Jesus today, to be able to witness to this mystery alive in our life, not just at the end of life, but today.
It's our journey.
Yeah,
and it's the end of our life.
It's in so many things, you know, losing a job, having bills to pay, you know, there's so many things that assault our family and our brothers and sisters today that really give us pause. And how do you get through that? Mm-hmm. But being convinced that this mystery is the mystery of mysteries. So as St. Paul would say, without the resurrection, I have nothing to preach, and you have nothing to believe. With the resurrection, we have everything to preach. Mm-hmm. In other words, everything's possible, and also we have everything to believe. We have hope.
It's a wonderful day. Well, kind of changing gears a little bit since we're reaching the end of our program, there's going to be a group of students from Blessed John Paul II High School that are going to be going to the canonization
this coming week.
Yeah, right, of Pope John the 23rd and John Paul II.
Right.
Of course, that'll be happening next Sunday.
Right.
And by the time our broadcast is on, that would have already happened. So it's going to be very exciting for those of us to have somebody that we knew in our generation become a saint.
Right. You know, and it'll be a wonderful experience. It'll be very, very crowded and hectic.
Have you been to one of the canonizations?
I've been to several. Yeah. You know, one that I remember very vividly and I'm very happy to have attended and to be honest with you, I was a naive 21-year-old. Just beginning the seminary over there. It was in October, and Pope Paul VI, he had beatified Maximilian Kolbe. Pope John Paul II later canonized, but I was at the beatification. And, of course, in those years, Poland was still under the communist regime. And so this onslaught of people from Poland, and the man for whom Maximilian gave his life was there with his family.
Oh, my.
To experience the faith of people that something so powerful had happened, that someone had given his life for another person in a very tragic situation, and to have him and his family there with their fellow countrymen was just, you know, you felt so small, to be honest with you. I think when you're in a moment like that, you know you're a part of it because of faith, but when you see these giants of faith, you feel so small. And I think that's, looking back on it at 21, that's the way I felt. I knew I was part of this church, part of this experience, but in front of such a hero as Maximilian Kolbe, I felt so small. And yet I was just engulfed in the faith of the people and the faith that was being canonized or beatified at that time of this man. So it's a very moving experience.
I bet. Well, we'll be very excited to hear more about it. All right, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who on this day, through your only begotten Son, have conquered death and unlocked for us the path to eternity, grant, we pray, that we who keep the solemnity of the Lord's resurrection may, through the renewal brought by your Spirit, rise up in the light of life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Happy Easter.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a beautiful Easter day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.